morning with the help of the Lord. If you find your place and are able to stand, I'll invite you to stand. Prepare to read the God's Word. In Psalms chapter 103, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He is not always chided, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for men, His days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so it flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His commandments, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, that ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearken unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of this, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I'll ask David, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank You and praise You just for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace, Lord, upon us, Lord, for allowing us to meet this morning, Lord, for meeting with us. And Lord, I pray that You continue to bless and move throughout this service. Touch Brother Adam and help him, Lord, as he stands to preach, to proclaim Your word. Lord, I pray that You use him in a mighty way to honor You and glorify You. Lord, help each of us to glorify You and worship You today, Lord. I pray that You'd help us, Lord God, just to look to You for all that we stand in need of. Continue to move upon these needs that are on prayer leaders. Continue to move upon our pastor. Help him, strengthen him, encourage him, touch his body and his voice. Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We see that David would begin out in the first part of the song. We see that he is looking back at some things that the Lord has done in his life. We see that David would look at trials and valleys, the good times, the bad times, all throughout the psalm. But we see David is sitting down, and I believe reflecting on what God has done for him in his life. I believe David has times all throughout the psalms in which he does this, and I believe it's an important part of the Christian walk of life. For the child of God, if our eyes are always wrapped up on the things of this world and what's going on out in this world, we'll get so down and discouraged that we'll not be able to do anything for the Lord. Our thoughts and everything within us will be geared towards what's going on in the world and down at the workplace, inside of the government. That will block our vision of the Lord. But what David's done is he's got his heart poised to worship God. He's set everything else aside, and his focus is on the Lord. We see David mention the statement that is in verse number 1 and 2 and in verse number 22 of "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We see that David, as he begins to reflect, I can imagine that David is overwhelmed with what he is seeing that God has done for him and his life. As a child of God, if we do not have them places and times in our life, we'll get so discouraged, we'll give up on the Lord. What keeps me going on is seeing the hand of God, knowing that God is still working and that God is still moving, reflecting on the times that God has put His hand in my life, When I face a hard time, I can look back on other hard times and see where God has brought me through. And that's what David's doing. He's reflecting on the goodness of the Lord and how good God has been to him and his wife. He says in verse number 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." He said, "Lord," he said, "everything inside of me needs to be able to worship you." He said, "You're worthy of all my praise, my honor, and my glory that I can give unto you." I venture to say if the children of God would come to the house of God with that mindset, services would be a whole lot different. But instead, the preparation's not been made before we get to the house of God. We've got our mind overloaded with other things instead of how good God has been to you and I. I want to tell you, business will pick up around the house of God if our hearts are geared toward worshiping God. Business will pick up outside the house of God and the way that we view Him and the way that we act in our daily walk of lives if our heart is geared towards worshiping Him. He said, "Everything within me, Lord, you deserves your worship." He says in verse number 2, the latter part, "Forget not all His benefits." Now, the benefits is what most people look forward to when it comes to worshiping God. You and I would go to search for a job. We look for the benefits of that job. We look at the pay. We look at the retirement. We look at the health plan. Everything that they can do for us is the benefits of that job. The same would apply to our God when it comes to us as children of God. He's talking about those that have been saved, those that have been blood-bought. He said, "We are now somebody that's receiving the benefits of the Lord." As David would begin to expound upon them in the next 21 verses, you and I can identify with what he says. In verse number 3, he says, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." What I believe David talks about, he takes little spurts all throughout this chapter. I believe he's talking about salvation that's come to the child of God. I know that David looked forward to the cross, but they still had to trust and believe in a Savior that was going to die for them on the cross. As you and I would look back on the cross knowing that Christ had died and given His life for you and I, these two verses here, David's talking about salvation that comes to the child of God. He's talking about how great of an act it was for God to reach down and save you and I. He mentions that in other verses and talking about God being known us. Jeremy's already mentioned that this morning, how God knows us, how He can see fit to love you and I. He said that He forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. The diseases He's talking about, I don't believe that's ailments of the body, but I believe He's talking about a sin sickness that had come inside of you and I when we were born into this flesh. So what he's saying is, he said, all that sin's been removed. It's all been taken away. He gets on down to verse 12 and he says, as far as the east is from the west, you can't say that the blood has hid our sins from the sight of God, because if it was hid, it couldn't be found. But it's saying in the sight of the Word of God that it washed away. They're gone. You can't find it anymore. It's kind of like yesterday I seen where Sadie had taken chalk and drawn on the sidewalk out there. When a rain would come, that's going to disappear. It's gone. That's the same way that our sins are. It was there for just a little bit, but then that blood had taken and covered it all. It's no more to be found whatsoever. But he says that sin sickness is going to be, he said, he healed that disease. I know that we are robed in flesh, and that we're still going to sin in this walk of life. But as Jeremy's already said, there will be no joy if we're not a serving God. So he's just saying, I thank the Lord that He's took away the sin. He said, I thank the Lord that He's took away the joy of sin. He said, I'm thanking the Lord that He's geared my heart towards worshiping Him and serving Him. I say, I thank God that He's geared our hearts for that. I'm glad He's given us a desire to be inside of the house of God instead of out here in this world going in a different direction. And in verse number 4, he said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I believe he's talking about the Lord. Not so much our life's not, we're not going to die and go to hell, but he's saying He is leading our life in a direction. If we will let Him guide us in a perfect path to bring honor and glory to His name.
I don't know what my path would hold down the road, God. I don't know what your path holds down the road as far as troubles and trials. But what I do know is He said He's leading me away from the destruction of this world and leading me towards a place of glorifying His name. No matter what I face or what I go through, as already been mentioned this morning, it's for me to bear fruit in order to bring honor and glory to His name. He said, God, I thank You for having control of my life and leading me in a direction where I can bring honor and glory unto Your name. He said, I'm thanking You for letting me be a vessel to honor and glorify You. But He says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Talking about the child of God, once we're saved, He said the Lord looks upon us with tenderness and consideration and taking away the things that you and I would deserve to have afflicted upon our life. He said He's looking down upon us, and instead of issuing judgment, He's just smiling and saying, that's my child. That one that I'm leading and guiding in direction, directed in their life to bring honor and glory to my name. I say I thank God that we can be a vessel that God can use if we would so surrender unto Him. He goes on down in verse number 5. He says, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. David's not talking about physically eating. He's not talking about being renewed in this old body in which it's going to just rejuvenate itself from 60 down back to 20 and everything feel fine. But what David's talking about is a spiritual satisfaction that comes from God. When this body is failing, when we're facing the trials of this life, when it seems like there's opposition come against us in every direction that we turn, and we've got no answers for anything that we're going through, David's saying that God is still on the scene. He said He still steps in. He still supplies all my needs. Gives me everything that I've got to have to make it through. It may not be what I want, but it's what I need at the time. And that gives me the satisfaction to keep going on for Him. He said, bless the Lord for the satisfaction that you and I can get spiritually. This world don't hold no answers for me in my life. They can't do anything to encourage me. I can be going through things and y'all can say a word of encouragement, and it sometimes it goes as far as the door and that's it. But when God's on the scene, I can be satisfied in my heart and my life, no matter what I face, knowing that He is there. I thank God for being on the scene in every aspect of our life. Verse number 6, David would go on, and he said, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment all that are oppressed. When he talks about the judgment, he's a righteous judge. He never messes up. And everything that he does, everything is right in the judgment of God. And he says the righteous judgment. He's making the decisions that need to be made at the time they need to be made in order for us to be a vessel to bring honor and glory to Him. But it says he does this for all that are oppressed. I believe what David is saying is all the valleys that I've been through, all the problems that have come up in my life, every opposition that has tried to put me under, he said there's never been a problem that God's not been able to handle. There's never been a valley that God's not walked through with me. There's never been a dark area that I've had to face alone. David's just saying that God has put it there for a reason. As Jeremy's already said, I don't understand while we go through some things. But if it was for us to bear more fruit, that's why God's put it inside of our life, to bring honor and glory to Him. God's not just going to cast us aside, but He puts us through a lot of those things in order to bring honor and glory to His name. And David would assure us right here, he said, there's never been anything arise that God's not been in control of, that God's not been able to handle inside of my heart and inside of my life. I say I thank God, no matter what I face, He's been on the scene. In verse number 7, it says, and He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. I've read through this and I'm thinking, how does this verse fit in? But the Lord just revealed Himself and He said, I don't hide myself from my people. I believe that's what David's just saying. He's saying that God has never hid Himself from His people, even though there's been times. In verse number 6, you talk about the valley. Even though there's been times in the valley When it seems like I cry out unto God. And the dark areas of life, you cry out unto God, and it seems like God's nowhere around. David said that God will reveal Himself, that He's in the midst. He's there all along. You're not going through any of it alone. David said, I've never faced anything without God by my side. I say, I thank God that everything I faced and went through, He's been there every step of the way, and it was by His design and by His order. Verse number 8 through verse number 10, David says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And David would tell us in these verses, verse number 8, verse number 10, he tells us that there are some things that you and I would deserve because of sin. David's hitting on it again. We deserve hell. We deserve separation from God. We deserve all the punishment that our Lord endured on the cross of Calvary. We deserved all that. But David mentions time and time again throughout this chapter the mercy of God. How we're not getting what we deserve to get. I deserve to be separated from God. I don't deserve to know what the love is, but he says he's gracious. He issues that out to you and I. I don't understand why he would see fit to do all that, but David says, I thank him for it. I don't understand it, but this morning I thank him for it. In verse number 10, he says, he's not dealt with us according to our sins. We're not going to hell. Instead, our destination was changed when we surrendered our heart and life unto him, nor rewarded for our iniquities. Even though I may sin and fail, come short, even though salvation's already entered in, when that blood was shed on the cross at Calvary, it was shed for the past, the present, and the future sins. They're all gone. He looks at me as something that is spotless, something that is perfect, something that is blameless, because of the righteousness of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And David says in verse number 9, he says he'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Right now, the Lord has to rebuke sin when it enters into lives. Sometimes there's situations in which sin enters in and the Lord has to pull back on the reins and you'll see a trial come into life. Or the Lord has to punish it in some way, shape, or form. That's the rebuke that David's talking about. He said, the Lord does that now in the life that we're in. And he says that angers God with the sin that you and I would commit. But he said there's coming a day when all that's going to be set aside. David's focus is changing to not on this world, not on this life, a road to flesh, but he's just saying there's coming a day in which I'm going to get to see him, the one that's going to shed the blood on the cross of Calvary, the one that's going to pay the sin debt that I can't pay. And you and I would know that it's already been paid, knowing that he came humbly and born in a manger to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I. Verse number 14 says that he knoweth our framework and remembereth that we are dust. He said he knows me inside and out. There's nothing special about me. I'm filthy to the core. I know me better than anybody, and I don't understand why God would love me. And I'm sure you can say the same if you're honest with yourself. But still yet, he seemed fit to come to that cross again. And David said, I thank God. He said, bless the Lord for what he's done, for the blood that was shed, for not sending me to hell and separation from God, but instead loving me and saving me and giving me all the blessings throughout this life. In verse number 11, he would say, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. I can't imagine, you can't imagine the distance between us and heaven. I don't know how to get there. If you're honest with yourself, you don't know how to get there. It's going to take the Lord calling us home for us to get there. As much knowledge as men think they have, they barely figured out how to get to a couple planets, let alone to our Lord and where He dwells at. And He said, as far away as that is, that stretch that my mind cannot fathom, that distance, He said, my mind cannot fathom the amount of mercy that God has given to me and has given to you. I can't imagine how much has been given. I get little spurts and little glimpses, but I don't think our body can handle the full effect of what the Lord has actually done for you and I. We'd tear ourselves apart. We couldn't handle it. We would just be so overwhelmed with how good God has been to us. That's why our body's going to have to change. This robe of flesh is going to have to be put aside. We're going to have a glorified body to be able to fathom what all God has done for us down here. I believe when we get the life's other side, we're not going to see the sinful things. We're not going to see the things of this earth that were wrong and went against the things of God. But I believe we'll get to see everywhere God had His hand in our life. And I believe when we look at it, we're going to see that God never took His hand out of our life. There was a time that He kept us up until the point of conviction, and He saved us, and He's had His hand from the time that we was in the womb until the time that He calls us home. God has orchestrated it all and laid it out in a perfect design. And David's just saying, I thank God for the mercy that He's given to you and I throughout our life. In verse number 13, he says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. When I think about the father pitieth his children, he's a saying that he takes note of what's going on with the child. A father's somebody that's going to help. A mother's somebody that you take comfort from. Somebody that you go to if you're hurt, but a father's the one that protects. Something's going wrong, he's going to step in on the scene and he's going to protect and make things right. That's the role of the household. And he says, as a father would pity his children, he said he is not only our protector being the father, but he looks down with loving kindness, that compassion upon you and I. There's little things in my life that may not matter a hill of beans to you, but they would matter to me. And when I call upon Him, He's going to look down and He's going to hear my prayer, and He's going to answer those prayers and take note of those prayers. Maybe not the way that I want Him to answer them, but He's still going to answer those prayers. There's little things in your life that may not matter much to me, but as you get upon your knees and you call upon Him, He's going to hear and answer those prayers. You know, the big things we think about, you know, God's going to move into situations in which there's a big trial in life. It seems like somebody's whole world's turned upside down. But I will tell you, there's little bitty things. There's times that I pray for the chickens at the chicken house. You say, why does that matter? Well, that matters to me. That's my livelihood. That's the things that I do from day to day. And I believe the Lord takes note of those things. Just the little things in our life. David said that He takes pity. He looks down upon us with compassion and has compassion upon us. I say, I thank God that everything in my life matters to Him. Whether it does to you, whether it does to anybody in here, everything in my life matters to Him. He goes on in verse number 15 through verse number 18. He says, as for men, his days are as grass as the flower of the field, so it flourishes. For the wind passed over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His commandments, and to those that remember His commandments to do. Verse number 15 and verse number 16 would tell us that you and I are just down here for a short time. We number it in years. We may live for 50 years, we may live for 100 years. I don't know what it may be for my life, I don't know what it may be for your life, but the Lord's got that all planned out. That you and I look at it, it seems like the older I get, the faster it goes. But that's time that's laid out. But the Lord's telling us that's just a quick little spurt down here. And so we're just going to deal with this stuff for a short little time, and then we're going home to be with Him. He uses the analogy of a flower in a field. You and I would know that just like you see the wildflowers on the sides of the road. They bloomed out 2 or 3 weeks ago. They're already starting to turn to seed. It ain't going to be just a couple more weeks. They're going to be withered up. They're going to be gone. And they're not going to be back until next year. He's just saying that's how quick it's all going. And just as that flower only has a little part of this year, And then the rest of the year is coming about. Our life is just a little glimpse down here. But he just said there's a coming a day that we're going to see that everlasting, from everlasting for all eternity. We're going to get to spend with him. He says, if we keep his commandments. He said, if we've accepted him as Savior and Lord, there's a hope for a child of God. David just said, I thank God that even though there's some things that I've got to go through down here in this walk of life that I ain't going to have to endure forever. It may be that I endure a sickness from the time that I'm a child to the time that I'm old and go home to be with the Lord. It may be that he would never heal these old bodies. But what David is saying is there's coming a point, and when I take my last breath here and I take my first breath over there, that everything's going to be put right when we stand before him and worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord's going to keep that commandment to you and I. He said, we've got a hope today. I thank God that we've got a hope for the child of God. That's what keeps us going on a lot of times. A lot of discouraging things in this life. A lot of things you question, Lord, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to take place? But you and I know that the child of God has a hope. One day, I'm going to get to see. I'm going to get to know that everything's set right and get to worship him as he's worthy of. In verse number 19, he goes on and he said, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verse number 19, he talks about a throne. And when he talks about a throne, you talk about somebody seated on a throne as somebody that's in control. You know, David's not looking into heaven. David's not in heaven, but he's still down here in this walk of life. And he's saying, God is still in control. No matter what I go through, God's in control. No matter what happens in this whole world, God's in control. I can say the same thing in my life. Sometimes I don't understand what goes on, what we have to face, but God's in control. It's not caught him off guard. I don't understand why our political systems are going the way that they are, but God's in control. I don't understand why things in the world are going the way that they are, nation with nation, and I don't understand all that, but God's in control. He set it all in motion for a reason. You say, why? I believe if I go to read and write that it's all lining up to the Word of God, and the only thing left is for him to step back and call us home. Everything's just set in motion perfectly. You say, why? Because he's on the throne, and he's in control of it all. There's no sense in worrying, no sense in fretting about it. David's just saying, I thank you, Lord, that you're in control of it all. He goes on down in verse number 20, verse number 22. He says, bless the Lord, and ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, and all his works, and all the places of his dominion. Right here in these three verses, I believe he's saying we need to praise the Lord for all that he is. He talks about in verse number 20, the angels. He's talking about them worshiping him as creator. They don't know him as Savior. They don't know him as Lord, but they know him as creator. He's saying, praise the Lord that he's the creator of this universe. I thank God that he's created these things that made them work so perfectly. Man couldn't figure out how to make the sun come up, how to make the sun go down, how to make the moon cycle in order for everything to work out right. And everything runs off a moon cycle in this old world. Whether you know it or not, animals react off that cycle. Oceans react off that cycle. Everything reacts off of that. This world was designed perfectly until man sinned. But he said, we want to thank God for the creation that he's made. These bodies wake up every morning, and I'm not telling it to breathe, but it's automatically taking its breath. I don't understand how it's doing it. I don't understand what's going on with this heart beating when I'm not telling it to. But God is my creator, has made all that perfectly. And he said, we need to thank God for that. Verse number 21, it said that we need to thank God for what he set forth ahead of us as far as the ministry is concerned and those that do the work of God. I say, I thank God for those that come along before, that preach the gospel and that taught the things of the Lord and that sung the right songs inside of the house of God that led us to the point that we're at today and kept us firm, foundation firm in the Lord and did not let us go astray, but kept us planted where we need to be. You know, we take that for granted today, and so many churches have went a wrong direction, but I thank God for the church that we have that's founded in the things of God and rooted in the things of God and is not wavering like other churches in this old world. I say I bless God for where He's let me be raised in the house of God that He's let me be raised in. Thank God that I'm in a place where I can feel the Spirit of God, where there's no restraint as far as worshiping God, where I can hear the Word of God preached and taught on every week. Don't have to worry about if something's going to creep in the false gospel, but I know that somebody's going to stand firm on what the Lord would have us to hear from Him. I say I thank God for that. Verse number 22, He said all His works and all places of His dominion. He said everywhere that God is, He said, I thank You for what He's doing. You say, what does that involve? Everything. I thank Him for everything. David said, there's nothing left out. If you go to thinking about it, He's in control of it all. He's working it all out. Everything in my life is revolving around Him. The heaven and hell, it revolves around Him. Everything is about Him. He said, I thank Him for everything. You and I as Christians, a lot of times we let our vision get cloudy. I want to say, I thank God. I thank God for what He is to you and I. I don't never want to forget how special He is to me. I only encourage you, don't ever forget how special He is to you in your walk of life. There's some times that you just get along with God. Begin to love it on Him. I found it goes to love it on you too. Those are some sweet times in life. The times it seems like I just get a new wind to keep on going on for the cause of Christ. I resolve it on our heart this morning. Anybody got a testimony or word on their heart?
Thank you, Lord.